It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
And we are here, right here, on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am Alan Gervie. Yes, I am here. I can't believe that I'm here because I've been running around all weekend. I've been in a convention. And, of course, you're listening to Gervie's Law. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today I am here a little bit tired, but I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. With me, of course, is my wonderful co-host, Kerry Kasem, who looks a lot better than I do today.
You look a little tired, but I mean, you have been from, what, you were in San Diego.
Yes, I was.
A little while ago.
A few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I left on Wednesday, and we have our big convention. For those of you who don't know, and I think a lot of you do, I practice workers' compensation law, and this week, was our big convention. It's the California Applicant Attorneys Association convention, and I am the chairperson of that convention, so I run the whole convention. And it's in San Diego. Started on Thursday, and it's been just a whirlwind. I actually was on a panel this morning. I was the moderator for the presiding judges panel. Kerry, you know what a presiding judge is?
Somebody who presides over a jury in a trial?
No.
Okay.
But that would be a good guess.
Okay.
A presiding judge is actually the chief judge for that venue or that office or that court.
So oversees the entire courtroom, including the judges in it.
Right. Not the courtroom. The entirety of the judges who make up that court.
Oh.
So in other words, if you have 12 judges, he or she is the head, the manager, the boss of
the
judges.
He is their ruler.
Right. So I was making a joke this morning about, presiding judges were nothing more than like parents. Like when my 2-year-old son comes to me and says, I want something, and starts banging his hand against the wall, and I say, well, yeah, I guess I'm the presiding judge over this.
And so, yeah, the ruler of the family.
The ruler of the family. I don't think the judges really appreciated that analogy because I think they saw themselves as something more than just a mommy or a daddy for judges.
More of an esteemed position.
An esteemed
than mommy
position.
Or daddy. Yeah.
That's true. But everything went well. But, you know, the problem is in workers' compensation, and folks, we are going to be talking about workers' compensation today. It is not a usual topic because we've had a number of topics across the board in law, but today we're going to talk about my area of expertise, which is workers' compensation. And the fact of the matter is that workers' compensation has changed so much over the last couple of years since SB 863 was introduced. That is the law that changed everything for injured workers.
And is that the one? I mean, I know that there's a few of them, but there's one that really put a cap on what kind of money you could get. And I know that that one hurt a lot of people.
Right, and we're not going to talk about that because that isn't associated with workers' compensation. There are no caps. However, what the problem is, essentially, is the medical treatment.
So can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Because we were talking earlier, in shows earlier, we were talking about a cap that really hurt, and there was a vote on it, and they kept the cap at $250,000
right,
for somebody who was injured.
Okay, for those of you who are listening, if you're lawyers or if you're judges, or if you've been involved in medical malpractice, you might recognize what Kerry's talking about, which is MICRA, which is the $250,000 cap on damages, and that was part of a proposition that we talked about earlier in the year. Unfortunately, that proposition did not pass
right,
for those who were supporting it, and the cap remains for medical malpractice injuries at $250,000.
Oh.
And what has become very problematic in the workers' compensation arena is that the medical treatment has been taken out of the hands of the courts and have put into a utilization review and independent medical review process. The independent medical review reviews utilization review. And the fact of the matter is that independent medical review has has denied treatment to the tune of approximately 90% of disputed treatment in workers' compensation. So good luck in trying to get treatment. And the sad part is that all injured workers are people like you and I. Anyone can get injured. I don't think that a lot of people understand that my clients are judges. I represent a number of judges, doctors, lawyers, accountants. And then, of course, we have painters, school teachers, mechanics. You name it. People get injured, unfortunately, on the job. And what most of them want to do is get back to work, because people realize that they're going to make more money over their lifetime working than not working. For those of you out there who have suffered an work injury, I want to hear from you. The number here is 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. If you've been injured on the job, tell us your experience under this new law, which is SB 863. And I'd also like to hear from doctors who are involved in the process.
You know, I have a friend who got injured on the job. He's a fireman.
Yeah.
And he had a back injury.
A firefighter.
A fireman.
That's like
you,
workman's
you
comp.
And you're, oh man.
I am
fireman,
politically
fireman.
Correct.
It was a man. It's a fireman.
Okay.
Okay, so he got his back injured. And instead of getting him the right operation, instead of getting him the right procedures that could help him and correct it,
right.
It was, oh, here, take some pain meds. Oh, here, take more pain meds. Oh, you need, here, take more, until there was an addiction problem.
Right.
The pain was still there. The pain wasn't going away. His back was getting worse. You know, oh, well, MRIs are too expensive. You already had one. Well, there's something wrong. It hurts worse. We got to fix it. Until it got so bad that he had to go above everybody, write letters and say, now, not only do I have a back problem, I have an addiction problem.
Yeah.
Fix it. And it, you know, lucky for him, they listened, and it went on for years, but they finally got him the treatment he needed. But
you
it's
know,
now so much worse.
Carrie, that is a common story. I will tell you that I am sure that firefighter wanted to get back to work.
Yes, he did.
He had probably, you know, studied, worked out, done everything he needed to become an accomplished firefighter. And when you have a problem, a medical issue that doesn't allow you to do what you have chosen to do and make the money that you feel you can make in your chosen profession, it can be very, very frustrating. And one of the new clauses or legislation statutes talks about the fact that no longer is there a secondary psychiatric reaction liability for these type of injuries. In other words, if you get hooked on medications, if you get depressed, if you can't go back to work, if you are in so much pain that you don't sleep, and it's affecting your ability, your emotions, and your ability to function every day, that has been arbitrarily taken out of the law. In the past, you were able to get compensation for a secondary psychological reaction to these kind of catastrophic or heavy-duty physical injuries.
Would that be punitive?
It's not punitive. It's simply they simply have decided that psychiatric disability is not necessarily connected with physical injury. And I will tell you that every client I have, if they have a legitimate injury, and 98% of the ones that I handle do have legitimate injuries, they're going to be impacted. If I couldn't do the work that I do as a lawyer, I don't know what I'd do. I'd be pretty much depressed.
Sure.
So for those of you who are listening out there and you're thinking, oh, this just happens to losers. These injuries are just things that they don't happen to me. Be careful. Watch out. Because if it does happen to you and it happens to everyone, you're going to want to have some ability to get the necessary treatment, get the compensation, and get back to work.
And for me, just being a layperson, I'm not a lawyer. I don't have any. I mean, just the only time I've ever had to deal with the law is this last year with my dad. So
right.
I'm learning a lot here. And it seems like if somebody's going, I'm wondering what fraud, what psychologist or psychiatrist, what fraud they paid off to come in there and say pain doesn't affect you psychologically.
You know, that's a good question, and you used the F word. We often hear the F word, the fraud word, associated with injured workers. But the statistics show that the amount of injured workers who are frauds is such a tiny percentage versus the employers who are not paying their workers' compensation premiums, who are not giving an injured worker a claim form when they get injured, who are not following the law. So to answer your question, Carrie, and it is a good one, the fact of the matter is there is a lot of money behind employers, big business, insurance companies, and they are paying off, I said it, they're paying off in some way, and I don't know whether it's money or otherwise, it may be political favors, but somehow they're getting to the politicians so that their interests prevail. And I never understand it, like a company like Costco, for instance, during the Schwarzenegger era, there were people at Costco who worked at Costco handing out flyers to change the law for workers' compensation, which was actually going to benefit the money in Costco, the money people, the management, the owners.
And they had their own employees handing this
handing
out?
Handing it out.
And they probably had no idea what they were really handing
Absolutely
out.
Absolutely not. Why are you people out there supporting the heavy-duty, big, deep pockets by supporting all of these laws that hurt you? Why are we trying to put more money in the pockets of the owners who are making huge amounts right now and investing them in the stock market? Why can't you think of yourself, and why aren't you supporting laws that will help you out, not the insurance companies, not the employers? So I don't want to hear about fraud of an injured worker. I don't want to hear about that anymore, because that is such a small piece of the puzzle versus the big picture, where legitimately injured workers are not getting their treatment because of utilization review, because of independent medical review, and because of medical provider networks, where the employers choose the doctors who you are going to see, and those doctors have a gun to their head that they can't practice medicine unless they do what the adjusters of the insurance company tell them to do. They go to medical school, yet they listen to the adjusters when the adjusters say, you're not going to treat this person. You're going to send them back to work when they're not ready to go back to work. If you have been injured on the job, I want to hear from you. The number is 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or if you're a doctor in the system, or if you're involved as an employer and you have a beef with what I'm saying, please, please call me, because I'm ready to debate anyone, anytime, anyhow. You're listening to Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem right here on Gervey's Law, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
KABC helps you keep track of news as it happens. Get breaking news alerts instantly on your phone. Text KABC to 68683. Breaking news alerts on your phone from Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
It's Peter Tilden. You know, I've been talking about that very special Oceania cruise in August on the intimate, luxurious ship, the Insignia. We're going to London and Bordeaux, France, the beaches of Biarritz, the ancient Roman ruins of Spain. We're going to Portugal and Barcelona. Well, it's gotten so much bigger and better. I got to explain to you, there's art classes on this ship. There's a Canyon Ranch spa. There's also a cooking school, and there's no fees ever. Plus, right now we're taking a private excursion to the birthplace of Spain, the sacred caves and basilica of Santuario de Covadonga, and the Cathedral de Oviedo. And I got to tell you, everything for this special trip, everything is all included from just $45.99. That's airfare and tips, and they're even throwing $100 shipboard credit. We are going to have a blast together. It's a one-of-a-kind cruise. Space is going because it's limited. Call 888-445-9346 and I'll see you there. 888-445-9346. Call now. Ask them all about the details of the cruise. You're going to love it. And then I'll see you in August. 888-445-9346.
Stimulate this. Live and local. Live and SoCal. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And we are back. Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am Alan Gervie, and again, I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, and that is significant today because we are doing something in my wheelhouse, which is workers' compensation law. Carrie, as you know, many shows are devoted to areas of law that I'm not an expert in, but I pretend to be. This one, I actually am certified by the State Bar of California as a specialist in workers' compensation.
And you know what? Though, even though you're not an expert in some of those subjects, you really do come off as an expert. So anytime we've interviewed anybody regarding whatever law,
right,
you pretty much know your stuff.
Well, you know what that is. We went to the same acting school.
Oh, yes.
Of course. We're putting a plug into the
American... I forgot about that American Academy.
The American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie are both... And I'm not a graduate, actually. I attended.
Oh.
I didn't graduate.
Okay.
Did you graduate?
I did. I graduated.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, folks, today we're talking about workers' compensation law. We're talking about what has happened in the state of California that has caused havoc for anyone who gets injured on the job. And as I was saying in the first segment, it can be anyone. Carrie was talking about a friend of hers, a fireman, I believe, a firefighter.
Firefighter, but
Thank
he is
you.
A man in this case, so
okay.
Fireman would work.
And, of course, every day I see people from all walks of life who get injured and are now getting screwed by the new law, SB 863, that is really making it difficult to get medical treatment. If you want to call in with your story, call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. And right now we have Ken on the line. Ken, you are from Los Angeles. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you.
Ken, can you tell us your situation? First of all, were you injured on the job?
Yes, sir. It was approximately 3 years ago. I was in a repetitive physical job. It was a water meter reader, and most of our responsibilities were changing and maintenance of water meters, which is it's physical, demanding work. You're up and down on your feet, a lot of kneeling, stooping, reaching. And, you know, I would imagine there's a lot of jobs in California where a similar situation. Where,
absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing how many physical jobs there are. So what happened to you, Ken?
Well, it was the repetitive nature of my job, and I contribute it mostly to entering and exiting my vehicle, just the repetitive nature of that. And it just caught up to me one day where I think what had happened is I had a herniated disc, or
wow,
I herniated a disc, one or the other, I'm not quite sure. I had previous morning back pain on a daily basis, and I just attributed it to soreness of the job. It got to a point where it was one afternoon, I felt this snapping and burning down my outsides of my legs, and it started on one side, left side of my leg. I called my supervisor, opened a claim. He says, you got to go see my doctor. So
right.
I was automatically dropped into the workers' comp just because I had no other reason for it. It was from work. I told my supervisor I was just trying to call in that day.
And again, Ken, may I interrupt you for a second? Because I want our listeners to understand that there really are no alternatives. When you get injured on the job, workers'
right.
compensation is the exclusive jurisdiction for injuries on the job. So you did the right thing. You have to report it. Once you report an injury, the employer has 24 hours to provide you with a claim form. When you get that claim form, the insurance carrier or the self-insured employer will then follow up with you with respect to medical treatment.
Right, right. And so in my case, what had happened is the injury didn't affect my ability to perform my job for about 3 or 4 days. I thought I would just work this thing off. It wasn't a big deal. I reported it. They said that I was supposed to report it that same day, but I didn't know it was going to be anything of that severe, you know. And so when I realized the following week, about 3 workdays later, it was so bad that there was nothing, either there was no way I was going to be able to work, called in, and they sent me to their doctor. first thing that they did is they put me into physical therapy, they put me on medications, and this turned out that this was a back injury. So, you know, my first big catastrophe is that they were pulling and stretching on me with a back injury, which then that's when my right side got real bad. And to this day, I have difficulties with nerve pain on both left and right side, difficulty walking. And then throughout this whole thing, you know, we come to the utilization review and the approval of treatment and care. And in the beginning, it seems like they were kind of, you know, doing what they were supposed to,
right,
getting things going. Then my medical examiner, who was chosen by my original attorney, and this is a big deal. Your attorney makes all the difference in the world. I didn't know this. I ended up just grabbing some attorney out of the phone book. They almost immediately put me in to be rated by a medical examiner before I received my care and was back, you know, in whole condition.
But you actually received care. You got the care you needed?
Oh, I was getting care, but it was detrimental care. It was pulling and stretching on my back. They attributed it to something with like bursitis, where I just needed to stretch.
Right,
but the bursitis,
right,
was being caused by my low back condition.
Have you had a diagnosis now? Do you have herniated disc?
Actually, all of my lumbars are herniated. And the medical examiner that they agreed to, basically what he did is said, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. We're going to send you back to work. I went in for a half an hour. I had trouble just getting across the parking lot, told my boss, I can't do this. I just physically can't do this. And so I went back to my doctor. They issued another TTD, which is temporary total disabled. And so the AME basically let it sit for about 3 months and then finally put me on light duty. But in that time, they cut off my disability benefits, which I think they're temporary disability payments, they call it.
Right.
And basically, I was left without an income, unable to work, been living off my savings. At this point, I'm drawing about $500 a month out of my savings to pay my bills.
Wow.
And
what about the treatment? What about the treatment, Ken? Have you been able to get?
Well, what they did is, right when the medical examiner had gotten involved, they had approved an epidural. But then the medical examiner said, oh, no, you're fine. Go back to work. Then they denied it. And then it took an entire year after that for them to finally approve it later, after Medi-Cal had approved and done an epidural. And so there was no rhyme or reason to it. It seems that at first they were kind of going along with what was prudent. And then when the medical examiner stepped in and just put this ridiculous thing on me, basically,
Ken, I have to say something. I've heard so many stories like yours. It's heartbreaking. It's horrific. It's awful. And I've actually had a friend who went and got his treatment because it was he couldn't get treatment here in the States. He went over to Mexico and got treatment,
right,
because the MRIs are so much cheaper. The epidurals are so much cheaper.
But
things,
Harry,
are cheaper. And because you have to go to another country to get medical care.
We shouldn't have to be doing this.
Exactly. I agree. Ken, that is awful.
You know, Ken, we wish you well. It just sounds like you're in like this black hole, and hopefully...
Well, there's one thing I wanted to I wanted to put out there for everybody, because it's so important for public workers. I was working for a city government. Pretty much all the city governments, as far as I'm aware, they don't pay into Social Security. So after 5 years, what happens is you lose your Social Security disability benefit, because they say you have to work 5 of the last 10 years to keep those disability benefits for Social Security. Now, what happened in my case is I was 5, 6 years, I was vested, that pulled me off Social Security, but when they approved me for my disability pension, it was based on only a 5 or 6 year pension, so my disability benefit went from $1,400, which would have been Social Security, to $400.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous, Ken, and I know what you're talking about. If they don't pay into Social Security, then you're really screwed. I mean, there are programs, CalPERS and some of the others. Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. Ken, we wish you the best of luck. We have another caller on the line. This is Robert. Robert is in Tarzana. Robert, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, so tell us, are you an employer or an injured worker?
I'm an injured worker. The case goes back several years, and I was injured on the job. And I've had some adjunct problems from this injury that they're not getting addressed. I mean, I've had some serious complications from actually one of the surgeries I had, which was a hip replacement.
You had a hip replacement through your workers' compensation claim?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
And they put in the wrong prostheses, and now I have limited use of my right hand. Fingers are all numb, which has to be addressed. It looks like I'm going to have to live with it. It was supposed to be dissipated after a year or two, and it's just lingering. So
have you been able to return to work or no?
I have been retired since that time, so I'm not working.
And Robert, can I ask you what you did before all of these injuries took place?
I was a teacher.
Wow.
You know, and what Alan was saying this at the beginning of the show is that there was some fraudulent, in my opinion, psychiatrists and psychologists that said that really pain doesn't affect you psychologically. And so, I mean, I don't understand how that could happen. Does it affect you that way?
It absolutely does. I mean, as a matter of fact, I am seeing a psychologist because of it, and it's been helpful getting those treatments, but there's a definite correlation between the pain and how you're living your life. It's not a good situation.
And what has been your experience with these denials of treatment? Because we know that since the passage of SB 863, which was the most recent law, they have put the decision-making abilities in these independent medical reviews, which are unknown doctors. We assume they're doctors. They don't have to sign anything, but they review the utilization review decisions, and basically what we've seen is probably a denial rate of about 90%. Have you experienced any denials that you just are in shock over?
Yes, I was taking a lot of medication, and currently they're denying the use of the medication that I need, and every time that you go to get treatment, there's that review, and there has been several denials in regards to it.
And where does that leave you?
It leaves me in pain and not moving forward, not progressing, not getting the situation, you know, ameliorated. It's not a good place to be.
It sounds horrible. We wish you all the luck in the world, Robert, and hopefully these laws will change so you can get the necessary treatment so you don't have to live in pain. Thanks for calling Gervie's Law. You are listening to Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem. We're here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. And then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break, and at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-700-5961. That's 1-800-700-5961. Again, 1-800-700-5961. Call now.
It's Peter Tobin for Glendale Infinity, and right now you can get a loaded brand new Infinity from just $299 a month with no money down. But what else does Glendale Infinity do that other dealerships don't do? Here's Chris to tell you.
From the minute they drive up, they've got the concierge service. They offer free coffee. You get bananas. You get cookies. They speak several languages here, from Indian to Arabic, Yiddish, you name it. They speak it here, and it makes a wonderful environment. It's a family-owned operation, and they just make you feel at home. And no matter what the situation is, when your car is here for service, they always bring it to the car wash and clean the car thoroughly, inside out.
And Chris didn't mention 6-year, 70,000-mile warranty. The car loaded with tech like blind spot warning, intelligent cruise. Your texts are read to you out loud. Dual touch screen, Bluetooth, power seats, rear camera. They also handle challenge credit. They got 600 cars in stock. $299 a month with no money down. Call 1-800-MY-INFINITY or go online to GlendaleInfinity.com and see the huge selection of cars they have. Only at Glendale Infinity, the number one Infinity dealer in California. For real.
America, built on hard work. When it's time to leave work, the open road is a cruel mistress. Lucky for you, you can count on the most capable, dependable, full-size program on earth. The Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips. Weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, it is Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You're listening to Alan Gervie, and I am here with Carrie Kasem, who is battling with her telephone right now, doing a lot of texting. Carrie, can I have your focus here?
Yeah, I'm here. You know when you get a text to somebody that just says something that's just not true and pisses you off? I'm going to say it. I went through the last segment really, like,
angry.
Yeah.
And that was because there were two injured workers who called and
they
weren't getting their treatment.
That's right. It was the injured workers and then this nasty comment that was by a friend who had it all wrong.
An ex-friend,
but just you had to straighten them out.
You know, folks, we're talking about injuries at work, workers' compensation, and how everything has changed over the last couple of years, how difficult it has become to receive benefits. And I believe, and this is just my personal opinion, of course, not the opinion of KABC, but I believe that the money influences in the government and the insurance companies and employers have done a number on the legislature to put pressure on them to make sure that the costs are contained at the expense of the injured worker. We're seeing it all the time. My law firm deals with it all the time, and, of course, that's the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn. Go look us up at www.rgwlawfirm.com, and you can go to our Facebook page, which is Gervie's Law Facebook page, to see how beautiful Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie are.
It's a great shot.
Don't laugh.
It's a great shot.
We've got some fun stuff going on that Facebook page, so if you haven't been there lately, go check it out. We, again, are talking about this just horrific, horrific law that has resulted in injured workers suffering, and it is impacting the ability for people to get back to work because they are not getting the treatment they need. And for me, as a manager, managing partner of a law firm, I need to have my people get back. I need treatment to be authorized, not denied, just so the insurance companies can save money.
I agree with you. What are you going to do about it? And that conference that you went to with all those people and the judges and the lawyers, what do they feel? And can they do something about it?
You know, it's a great question. I was at the California African Attorneys Association conference this past weekend, and I just got back from there. It was an amazing time. I was the chairperson of the event, and we got over 1,200 people there. We had a panel called The Great Debate, and we brought out people from all walks of workers' compensation law, including employers, lobbyists, the California Chamber of Commerce, Nurses Association, firefighters, African attorneys, defense attorneys, and African attorneys, by the way, are attorneys who represent injured workers. We had the founder of WorkComp Central, and everyone was debating, what are we going to do? Because there's almost universal agreement that this law sucks. Even the defendants are saying, it's a problem. They may not say it's a problem because of the same thing that injured workers are saying, but there are so many little obstacles to administering this form of law, administrative law, and you can't do it when the minutiae just gets in the way and blocks everything that claims adjusters are supposed to do in providing treatment for injured workers, compensation to injured workers to get them back at work. And if you are catastrophically injured and you can't work again, then the system should take care of you. I don't understand why we're having tag days for insurance companies and self-employed insurers when they are making a lot of money.
But when you say minutia and it's big business behind it, it's the big insurance companies, it's they're paying off everybody to get what they need. How are you going to fight that big machine?
Well, you know, conferences like we have this weekend does help because it opens people's eyes. But you're right, it is difficult to fight the machine. Is it going to take death? Is it going to take the death of the governor's offspring to open people's eyes, and I'm not wishing that upon anyone or any legislators? Are people going to realize that if you deny hypertension medication, if you deny diabetes medication, someone may die. And we have a doctor on the line right now. This is Lauren from Los Angeles. Lauren, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us, are you involved in the workers' compensation system in any way?
Mr. Gervie, up to my neck.
Yes, up to your neck.
Up to my neck. And it's honestly, as a healthcare provider, it's very frustrating because it's difficult to get authorization for treatment for patients.
And how do you go about trying to get this authorization? What kind of hoops do they put you through?
Hoops that they light on fire and then I have to jump through them if you really want to know the truth.
Yeah, I do want to know the truth.
You have to write a report and then you have to fill out a form called a request for authorization form, RFA. You fill out the form, you send it to the insurance company, and the claims examiners don't even have authorization anymore to say, you know what, go ahead and do it or not. And it's frustrating for them as well. The request for treatment goes to the carrier's utilization review department, and then you get a peer call from another doctor who works in the insurance company.
Right.
Now, that doctor has never examined your patient.
So you're saying, Lauren, you're saying that the doctor who is making the call on your patient hasn't examined the patient. Now, has that doctor seen the medical records, reports? Have they reviewed testing so that they can make an informed decision?
That's a very good question. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. Sometimes they don't get all the medical records, so they don't see the MRI that shows the tear of the medial meniscus in the knee or the 6-millimeter disc herniation in the low back. They don't see that information. So they call your office, and sometimes they leave a message, and you only have a couple of hours to call them back in many cases.
I had a case, on a number of them actually, where the doctor was called at 5:12 p.m. on Friday afternoon, and the doctor had, I think he was taking his last patient, didn't get the message, left. He had to go out for dinner or something Friday night, and then by Monday the treatment was denied.
I have a quick question for both of you. Why, doctor and Alan, why would there be a time limit on something as crucial as this?
Well, there's supposed to be a time frame. But, it just sort of goes to the peer doctor, and there's just a deadline. And once there's a deadline, it gets closed. I think it gets closed out in the software system, actually. So even if the peer doctor would like to readdress the issue, they can't do that either.
And, again, some of these issues are very complex. It's not as simple as putting a Band-Aid on a cut. And there are different ways to treat different maladies that occur as a result of industrial injuries. Why are we putting all of our eggs in one basket, which is the utilization review? And, of course, if that treatment is denied, then what is this independent medical review? They're even worse than utilization review because we don't even know who they are.
We don't know who they are. Here's my question. How do you know that, it's supposed to be a quote-unquote doctor? Well, number one, how do you know that doctor's license is in good standing?
That's true.
How do you know a gynecologist is not reviewing a shoulder surgery?
Absolutely.
How do you know it's even a doctor?
Yeah, that's true. And, a lot of them, the Maximus is the company who does the independent medical review. They had no idea how many cases they were going to have to look at. It's up to about 20,000 a month, and they figured it would probably be maybe 1,000 a month. They don't have the man or woman power to do it. So you're right. I can see that they are just giving these cases to someone, maybe a nurse practitioner or an administrative assistant, paying them, $50, $100 and say, here. Deny it. We just have no transparency in the system. And when your life is on the line, when you have a herniated disc in your neck and you can't, do any of your activities of daily living, you have radiating pain down your arm, you have numbness in your fingers, and you're relying on the system where there's 20,000 requests for authorization, isn't there something wrong? Doctor, help me out here.
I'm listening to you talk, and you're saying it all. Everything you're saying is true. But there's another issue, too. Sometimes you see a denial, and they deny it based on guidelines called ACOEM or ACEOM, MTUS or OGG guidelines.
Right. The main one is the MTUS, which is the Medical Treatment Utilization Schedule, and then there's ODG, Occupational Diagnostic Guide, and what you're talking about, the ACOM guidelines. But most of them are M2s, MTUS.
And if you look at the denial, and the denial comes up with a clinical picture, if you look at the denial, actually, these guidelines support the procedure. But you don't have to be a physician. You know, if you see something that says 6-millimeter disc herniation at L5-S1 with L5 radiculopathy in the right lower extremity and muscle strength is decreased, you don't have to be a doctor or a surgeon to know that this likely warrants surgical intervention. When you see a 70% tear of the supraspinatus tendon, you don't need to know what a supraspinatus tendon is.
That makes a lot of sense. And one of the questions quickly before we leave, and we have to shut it down shortly, but I want to know from you, doctor, because you sound like you really know what you're talking about. There's something called the Medical Provider Network, and the Medical Provider Network is a network of doctors that the employer chooses to see the injured workers. What I don't understand is if the employer chooses doctors in the Medical Provider Network, why are they putting the request for treatment through utilization review if it's the employer's own choice of the doctors? They don't trust their own doctors?
I think they don't trust anything, and that's a very good question, and it takes a legal mind like you, honestly, to ask that question. You know, how do they say this doctor whose license is in good standing can be in our network, and that doctor whose license is also in good standing can't?
Right.
Is this a clique? Is this a high school clique? Is this a club?
You know, it's funny because last week we had Lisa Bloom, the attorney, on, and she talked about racial profiling in her book, Suspicion Nation. And this is profiling. I don't understand how they can choose one doctor over another. What is going into their decisions? Obviously profiling, and that's not equal opportunity. And we hope that some of these laws are going to be struck down in federal court by due process, 14th Amendment, and other equal opportunity clauses, which would make it illegal, unconstitutional for them to make these decisions. And you know,
what's even scarier, Mr. Gerby, is that they could throw a doctor off the network. You know, they might say, you know what, Lauren, we don't want you to be one of our providers because we think you're ugly, or we don't like blondes, or for whatever reason, they don't have to have a legitimate reason. That's what's so frightening.
You know,
what it does is it ties the doctor's hands because, you know, they can make complaints.
I see that all the time, where a doctor who is on the Medical Provider Network all of a sudden willy-nilly, unceremoniously, is kicked off the network for no good reason, and it's probably because they're giving some damn good treatment to an injured worker, and it's costing money. Lauren, I want to thank you for being on Gervie's Law. You have shed light from a different perspective. We had injured workers on before. You are struggling. You are fighting it out in the trenches, trying to help people, and we take our hats off to you. Good luck as you continue with this fight.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Gervie. It's been an honor. Thank you, Ms. Casey.
Thank you.
You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back.
The KABC courtroom is in session. Weekdays at 9 with Judge Christina Perez.
Sustained, do you have any evidence at all? We are serious about the truth.
But there's the truth and the truth.
Not in my courtroom. Tune in to Judge Christina Live, weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
To be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job
job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
For Southern California's best rock, it's gotta be 95.5 KLOS. For traffic, first on the fours, it's
ABC.
We are back right here on Gervey's Law, and the table of honor has become full. Usually it's just me and Carrie, but we're
or
joined.
Cindy Crawford.
Oh, Cindy Crawford.
Or nice. Gloria Allred.
Gloria Allred.
Or Lisa Bloom. Or Patrick. Wait, Jason Patrick.
Jason Patrick. Erwin Chemerinsky. We've had them all. If you, you know, Carrie, that's a great point. If you're a big shot in the legal arena or in entertainment, call us up and we'll consider having you as a guest on this show.
You just lost them.
But you have to be a big shot. We're not taking little shots. Right. We got two big shots right here. And, of course, if you haven't been listening, you should have been. And we have been talking about workers' compensation. I am Alan Gervey, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. Go check out our website at rgwlawfirm.com. If you want the best in representation for injured workers, you need to call me personally or by the many people in my office. And one of them we have right here, who has just returned from the California African Attorneys Association meeting, Erica Wise, who's a producer of this show and also a hearing representative for our office. Erica, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Hello.
And, of course, we have across from Erica, we have another gentleman who has rushed from San Diego here to do the show this afternoon, Mr. Stephen Chapman. And Steve is the National Settlement Consultant Settlement broker. He deals with workers' compensation cases, so he can shed some light on what the status is nowadays after these horrific laws were passed in August 2012, how it has affected settling a claim in workers' compensation. Steve, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you.
It's nice to have both of you here, and you were just at this convention. Steve, tell us a little bit about how the law has impacted the ability to settle a case, which a lot of people want to do, of course, because they want to get on with their lives.
Well, it's very difficult to settle a case these days, and it's even more difficult, I think, for someone who's injured to get medical care. You know, the legislators in the state passed a law that gives all the power and all the control to the employers. And if so, if you get injured at work, it's your employer who gets to decide how much they want to spend on you getting better. And on cases you and I work on, we see some real horrible things where the people we're dealing with and trying to get care and trying to get money for injured workers is a big gain to these people. In fact, what they believe is the smaller amount of money they can spend on helping you get better, then they're winning. And that's not what work comp is about at all.
I have a question, and this is going to be kind of out there, but why aren't the lawyers like you getting together, say, you know, workers' comp lawyers, getting together,
right,
and getting these people who are horrifically injured, making a PSA? This is what your, you know, your assemblymen and senators are doing to these people. Why not shame them?
Good point.
Well, here's the big lie, first of all. Here's what they want the average person to believe, that if they spend too much on workers' compensation, all the businesses in California are going to leave the state and the state will collapse. California is the best state in the union, and businesses are not going anywhere. They have the best workers, and all we want is for these fine workers, when they get injured, to get adequate and good medical treatment.
You know,
that's all, and that's not going to bankrupt anybody.
Let me just say that that's an interesting point, because last year I had a case, went to the Supreme Court of California, and there were 15 amicus letters, which are support against my client, saying that if the Supreme Court does not reverse the decision that I won in the underlying court, that businesses would fall apart. One of them came from Foster Farms, that chicken place, and it said that And I'll show you the letter. It actually says that they're having problems making a buck, and I'm paraphrasing, and if the Supreme Court doesn't reverse the decision, that the business in California is all going to fall apart. Well, it hasn't. We're still eating our chicken.
And also, Carrie, I'm sure you've seen it before when you went lobbying up in Sacramento, but we all went to lobby the reform that Jerry Brown was passing, the SB 863. And it wasn't, you know, what the average person would expect. You know, you walk into assembly members or senators' offices and they say, who are you here? How are my constituents going to, right. You know, how is this going to affect them? Who's backing this? If you go get that senator's vote, then I vote with them.
Sure,
so then,
sure. It's a game. But, you know, and sometimes you need to play the game a little bigger than they play it. You get a video, and you get a touching video with all of these people begging them, showing the injuries, having the doctors say, this person needs this treatment. You take that tape and you say, are you going to support this? Because if not, we're going to add you on this, you know, on this PSA as somebody who does not support these people.
Erica actually put together a great video when the legislation was being debated, and she brought out a lot of facts. And it did, in my view, it went viral, not across the world, but it went around the state of California. And it does help, but the bottom line is that someone has to really be hurt before anyone will open their eyes.
Sure, but look, if you play their game, right, they only care about their constituents. They only care about, like, if you're in Burbank, that, you know, the assemblyman's going to care about Burbank. If you're in Beverly Hills, if you're whatever city, you start to make these PSAs and play them so people know who they have voted in.
You know, Carrie, you and Alan know all the big shots, you know, in Los Angeles and Hollywood, and it's really important. And you know how most things are. You know how the state of California loves celebrities. Some of them are incompetent, but, you know, they tend to find their way into public office.
Right.
But we need celebrities who can speak out, because the average person listens to and believes the lies that workers' compensation is about a bunch of people who are trying to cheat the system and treat
right.
taxpayers.
Right. Right.
And you know what? We need to get someone who's credible to come out and to speak about how people are getting injured and how they're getting screwed. And I love your idea.
It's true, but you don't even need a celebrity for this, because what you need is, you know how you every year the election and you see the, you know, one commercial go up and say horrible things about that candidate. You see
yeah.
another one go up and horrible things about the other candidate. All you need to do is get enough money together, and PSAs can be free because stations have to play a certain amount of PSAs.
Right.
All you need to do is get enough money together to get this video together, or have somebody with a very sincere voiceover,
you know,
say, this is what's happening, and this is who you voted in.
Carrie, our phone lines are just lighting up.
It makes me angry.
And apparently makes a lot of people angry, because a lot of people are calling in. But Erica wants to talk a little bit about what you're saying, because there's a judge who has now since retired who said something in one of his decisions that is very telling. Erica?
We actually, at the convention, were wearing shirts. Our law firm, the law firm of Rowan Gervian Wynn, wore shirts that had his quote that said, "The irony is that we are all workers, and what we do or have already done to injured workers and their affiliated families through the legislature in passing SB 899 and SB 863, we do to ourselves."
So true.
Isn't it true?
So true.
Steve, we're going to have to close out in a minute or so. What is your closing thoughts on what can be done with this?
I think we have to make the general public aware. No one cares about workers' compensation, and no one cares about anyone getting injured until it happens to them, and then they can't believe how outrageous it is and what happens. And I think we have to really have some insight and foresight, and we have to address this problem before it gets any worse, because it's really bad, Alan. I know you can't even get minimal care for your clients, and it's reaching a breaking point, and we have to get together.
And Erica, isn't that true? That's what we're trying to do, is help people?
Exactly, and just make them aware.
Thank you so much. Steve Chapman, if you want to get in touch with him, he's with National Settlement Consultants, and you can call my office at 818-981-9960. Thanks again for being on the show. We'll see you next week.